As we continue on the broadcast, I hold in my hand right now Jewish Culture and Customs, a sampler of Jewish life. And then the second book in my hand, More Jewish Culture and Customs, a sampler of Jewish life. Steve Herzig is our broadcast partner for this moment right now. You've got to realize that if it's Passover or any special Jewish holy day, we're going to have Steve along. He is the National Director for Friends of Israel. Steve, you know, I'm sure you have two great books here. I've read most of each of them, but your creativity on titles is not that sharp.
Yeah, you're right about that, Jimmy. We just had a people wanted to hear more, so I kept hearing, see, you want more? So I put more in the title.
I love it. I love it. It's great. Chag Sameach, my dear friend.
Happy holidays to you, specifically for Passover.
Yes, thank you so much. Well, it is our custom whenever it's a Jewish holy day, we have you along. A couple of times a year we do it. There's always a joy to have you. Tell us about the Jewish culture and customs. By the way, we have these books available. You can go to our website, go to our bookstore. They are available. You can purchase them. It would be great information that you could have. It'll assist you in trying to communicate Jesus Christ to one of your Jewish friends or just understanding. That'll be a blessing to you as well. So go to our website, prophecytoday.com. Go to the shopping mall and see about ordering the books. Steve, let's talk about Passover. Actually, there are three Jewish holy days that unfold, and I want to talk about the first three, Passover, unleavened bread, and also first fruits. I want to do that, and then I want to ask you some very provocative questions maybe about first fruits. Talk to us about Passover. Just remind everybody what the holiday is about and what do the Jewish people do.
Well, you know, Jimmy, in the Bible, in the Torah specifically, as God established Passover, one of the things he wanted them to do was to remember it forever. The idea was to teach your children what God had done. Well, what did God really do? Well, they were in bondage for 400 years. Moses was raised up by God to go really head-to-head against the most powerful ruler on the planet, and he said, "Let my people go." Well, Pharaoh was not about to do that. It took nine plagues where the invisible God actually defeated each false god of the Egyptians, but that wasn't enough either until the tenth plague, the death of the firstborn. And when the Jewish people would be in a house where there was lamb's blood applied to the door, God passed over. That miracle is what Jewish people remember, redemption, redemption out of bondage, where ultimately they would be set free. And so Passover is the time when families get together and literally tell the story. They not only tell the story, Jimmy, they actually, as they're gathered around the table, they sing praises to God as well.
That's great. And it's a joyous time. Living in Israel for the last 19 years, we've participated in Passovers with those who are actually Jewish people. Not converted to Christianity at all, just the Orthodox Jews, so that was a blessing. But when we would get together with Menno Kalashir, the pastor of our church there in Jerusalem, and we would go through the Passover with a different focus, that Jesus in Christ was, of course, the Passover lamb. But now, what is unleavened bread? Help us to understand that.
Well, you know, Jimmy, God told the Jewish people that they would leave in haste, that it's God's Passover. And so there was no yeast in the bread, no time for the bread to rise. They were to leave quickly. And so today, Jewish people, and according to that commandment, have matzah, which is unleavened bread. According to the rabbis, in fact, in the Haggadah, which is a little booklet that the Jewish people use to go through the Passover, you know, when I was raised in an Orthodox home, a Passover Seder, and that's what they're called, took 5.5 hours to do. I mean, that's a long, long
yes,
time.
Yes, especially for little kids.
as we go through the Haggadah, the rabbis say that leaven is symbolic of the evil inclination of your heart. That's a really interesting thing, because in the New Testament, Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." He was talking about false teaching. So leaven, whether you're Christian or whether you're Jewish, is symbolic of sin or error.
So they would actually have unleavened bread for a seven-day period of time, separating from basically the sourdough bread they had before Passover came, and then the 7 days as they started their journey towards the Promised Land. It represented separation as well, did it not?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, they were to search the house for leaven. Every family, every Jewish family, as they prepare for the Passover, goes through a tradition of searching the house for the leaven. They scrape it up, put it on a pan, a dustpan, go to the front door, recite a prayer, and get that leaven out of the house. You're indeed correct. The idea of separating ourselves from that error, that leaven, is very customary. And again, it's real significant for Christians as well, Jimmy.
What about, is that where we got the idea of spring cleaning?
I always tell people, I just got back from the West Coast and did a couple of Passovers for churches and told them the truth, and that is Jewish people invented two things, and they both are contributed to Passover. Spring cleaning, because it takes place in the month of Nisan, which is our springtime, and also the sandwich. We're reminded that Hillel said that we're to have the unleavened bread, the bitter herbs, and the lamb, and combine them together in a little sandwich. And so we invented the sandwich long before the Earl of Sandwich.
Well, that's an unknown fact that we have brought to your attention here on Prophecy Today. Well, now, what is first fruits then?
Well, right following in the same month is first fruits, and that is the offering of the first fruits to God. Jewish people today really combine first fruits with a holiday that falls a little later called Shavuot. And so most of them don't celebrate it, but it is in the Bible. And in fact, the Apostle Paul talked about first fruits. And the idea from a Jewish point of view is when we have whatever we're going to reap or harvest, we offer it to the Lord. And so Paul used that illustration by saying that Christ, the Messiah, is our first fruits. Just as Jewish people were saying, Lord, you take the first. I know that I give that to you. I know more will follow. So Christ was our first fruits. He rose from the dead, and so we know that more will follow.
When you celebrate these different feast days, the Jewish people, do they have any idea what prophetically is in there? I mean, in just a few moments, I'm going to talk about Jesus fulfilling these feasts some 2,000 years ago. He crucified on Passover, buried on unleavened bread, resurrected on first fruits. Is there any idea among the Jewish world that there's any connection at all, or are they totally blinded to that fact?
You know, Jimmy, I'll use myself as an illustration. I think it's fair because I've also seen it in others, and that is this. We do something like this with sincere hearts. Our families get together. We are indeed, I can speak for myself, I was thankful to God that he redeemed us, that he separated us, that he called us out as a people, but I had no idea, none whatsoever, that these things really were such a clear picture of the Messiah. And the reason I didn't was quite simple. I was relying on things about the Bible, prayers, they were certainly praises and thankfulness, but I wasn't reading the Bible. I wasn't reading the text. And the first time that I saw a Passover, this was right after I trusted the Messiah personally. My jaw was completely open. I said, how could I have been so blind? And, Romans talks about that. Unless God removes the blinders from us, it really doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or Gentile. You're not going to see the truth. But I could tell you that I was just in San Juan Capistrano in California. A Jewish woman attended that Passover, came up to me afterwards, and said she had never seen anything like that. She was in her 70s. She'd been to many, many Passovers. And so we're thankful to the Lord that we're able to show them and that God in his sovereignty does open the eyes of his people.
How can we use these three holy days, or especially Passover and unleavened bread, to communicate, to love Jewish people, to help them understand about Jesus?
No question about it, Jimmy. The best way to do it is during this time of year right now, if you have Jewish friends, you wish them a warm, happy, and blessed Passover, and tell them how thankful you are for the fact that God redeemed his people so that ultimately your Savior, who is Jewish, was the one who redeemed you. How thankful you are for the Jewish people. If you do that, their jaws will drop because very few people come up to them and say, thank you for being Jewish. Thank you for your people. Thank you for my Messiah, which is from your people.
this type of information is available to you, not only for Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, but for all seven of the Jewish feasts, plus other items in their culture and customs as well. Steve has written two books, Jewish Culture and Customs. It's a sampler of Jewish life. And then a second book, because of the fact they wanted more. So he entitled it More Jewish Culture and Customs. And these two books are available on our website, prophecytoday.com. Go there, go to our shopping mall. You'll find these two books. Steve, you're a joy to have along, and the reality of how God is using Friends of Israel, you as the national director, to reach into the Jewish community here in America, but then around the world, and present Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb, and, of course, the first fruits for all of those who come to know him as Lord and Savior. That's a blessing. Thank you for doing your ministry, and thank you for being available for us at this time to explain these holy days.
Thank you, Jimmy.